Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 27 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I am joined by my brother, Samuel Sweeten.
Hello, everyone.
What we're going to be doing today is we are going to be doing a kind of a separatist review, overview, strategy discussion. It's kind of going to be a how-to for running the separatists, and Sam is our resident. I guess he's not a resident anymore, but he is our best separatist player. He was the one who got on separatists first and smacked us around a ton while we were all figuring out how good separatists were. So Sam's really well positioned to talk about this. Before we get to the episode, just a few things. Again, just running through the tournaments that we're talking about. We've got CanCon, which is happening in Canberra. I don't know how you guys say that in Australia. On the January 26th and 28th. LVO is happening the weekend before. And for those of you who are planning on going to LVO, I don't think we need any more terrain. We're good on the amount of terrain that's been provided. But I would strongly encourage you, even if you have not registered for the Shatterpoint tournament, if you're going to be there for MCP or something like that, you should just come hang out with us. We're going to be playing games, getting in scrims, and it's going to be a ton of fun. And then also one more thing is, and this is actually coming up the soonest, is that in Sweden, in Linköping, Sweden, on January 6th and 7th, they're having two tournaments for DEF CON in Sweden. Christopher is the one running that. So we'll have links for all of that in the show notes like we always do. We encourage everyone to rate and review the podcast. We had a bunch more people sign up to get promos. We've sent them all out. And that's pretty much it. Oh, I guess one more thing is make sure as you play games that if you can, we would love it if you would submit the games on the Zion's Finest Google form that's been pinned in the general chat. Okay, Sam, have you been playing any games recently?
No, I've just been studying for finals and taking finals in law school. That's all I've been doing.
Like a sucker. For those of you who don't know, so Sam is a 1L, which means it's his first year in law school. And your first year in law school is, especially your first semester in law school, is famously grueling. And so Sam has just kind of been off the face of the earth for a month.
Yeah, I really have. I'm excited to be playing some more games this week. I have a day scheduled at the shop tomorrow. Cool. I'll have played games by the time this has come out. How about that?
Oh, there you go. That's awesome. And what are you going to be running by the time this comes out?
I'm not sure yet. I'm just going to take my collection and pull out what speaks to me when I hit the table. Probably something with separatists. This is what I usually do, but
yeah. I mean, to be honest, I have been, so I think really, you know, separatists is obviously, we're going to be talking about them a lot in this episode, but separatists I feel like is the most flavorful in terms of if you want to run different variations of, like, if you want to run different kinds of lists, separatists are probably the best thing for that because Dooku, Magna, and Jango are so flexible. So if you want to run aggro, you can do that with separatists. If you want to run control, you can do that with separatists. Whereas with Republic, it's kind of like you're running Mace, and then you're running Padme, and then, you know, you're running Obi-Wan, right? And so there's just not like a ton of flexibility there. So I totally get that. I have been just playing more Lumi, iterations of Lumi. Matt and I played a game on Tabletop Simulator last night. So just so everyone knows, my wife had a baby last week, and so my schedule has also been a little bit crazy. But Matt and I, we were able to play like half of a game, probably like two-thirds of a game last night on TTS before I was called away on baby duty pretty late at night. And what happened was I was running Vader and Lumi, and the idea was I constructed this premier list with Vader, Snips, Arfs, and then Lumi, Barriss, Fifth Brother. And it's a part of like a Vader Republic list where I've also got Obi-Wan. Oh, and then it's mostly Republic because the fourth squad there is Dooku and company. So, but the idea, you know, I was like, oh, I want to try like all these Republic things. So I tried out this combination, which I actually think is probably the weakest of the four pairings together. But I want to try it. I want to see how Lumi would do without having Dooku and company. And to be honest, I guess like Lumi was fine, but really the reason why Lumi was fine was because Vader, you know, one-shot Arfs with a ranged attack and then he was able to, after one-shotting the Arfs, he's able to dash onto a point and, you know, he's being a monster. I was not super impressed with Barriss, and I know I haven't played very many games with her, but she's just too easy to kill. Her defense is garbo, right? And so if you don't have a figure that can punish that, like Dooku or Ahsoka, you know, I just don't really find, I get why Morgan Reed had Barriss with Dooku, because I think if you're running a Vader core, that's kind of where she wants to be. But I wasn't super impressed with her. I think the list is interesting, but it's just probably not quite there. So that was that. That's what I've been playing. But let's turn to the topic, Sam. So give us kind of a little bit of a background on Separatists, how they work, and then we can go from there.
Yeah. So to frame this, this episode is really speaking to the newer player, perhaps someone who says, hey, I want to try Separatists. How do they work? What can I expect from them? What strategies can I play? Of course, we will do some deeper dives that hopefully those who have played more will be able to get something out of this as well. But yeah. Separatists as a whole have some really powerful mechanics that can really turn the tide in your favor. First off, they have an amazing amount of out-of-activation movement.
Yep.
They have a lot of different characters that have abilities that can move other pieces on the board. Dooku and Grievous and Kraken and Kalani are all doing this on their turns. Magna Guards have an ability that allows them to move on other people's turns, on other primaries' turns. They're just getting a lot of ways to cheat out extra mobility. And that's very powerful to be able to score multiple objectives on a single turn or swarm points. Furthermore, not only do they get lots of movement out of turn, they get lots of attacks out of turn. Grievous and your droid commanders, and even to some extent Jango's not so fast, are all kind of forms of out of activation attacks.
Yep.
So they have quite a bit of chip damage, and that can increase your offensive consistency.
Absolutely.
And finally, what their final strength is, they're incredibly force efficient. I shouldn't say final strength. They have a lot of strengths, but the next major point is their force efficiency.
Yep.
They, in general, besides Asajj, all have pretty force efficient kits. Dooku's not spending much at all. Your other characters are spending one to, at most two, oftentimes zero.
Yep.
They have ways to trigger their active abilities on their trees. At least all their secondaries do. So you're able to use your force much more freely than you would in other lists. You're not quite as constricted in having to plan out everything. The other strength that they have is they have high health pools, which makes them difficult to one-shot unless you're playing a tuned aggro list. Their defense dice usually aren't great. They're fine, but they just have large pools. And unless people really spike, having a lot of health is hard to remove in a single activation.
Yep.
They do have a few weaknesses. They generally aren't as efficient at putting out conditions as other factions in the game.
Yep.
And they aren't great at recovering them. There's not a lot of recovers in any of their combat trees. Asajj has a few. Dooku has a few. Yeah. Nobody else really has any sort of recovers in their trees. They don't have any abilities.
So Magnus have one recover at the end of their tree, right? Which, which I mean, unless you're running Vader, most of the time with Magnus, you're rarely getting four steps. You're very frequently getting 2 to 3 steps. So you don't really feel the burn of that, right? But they do have one recover. And then like Grievous and Jango have got their recovers when they wound people. But really, you're right. There's just not like a whole lot out there.
Yeah. They don't do a good job of removing conditions or damage.
Yep.
And they, additionally, besides having large health pools, there's not much steadfast. You have Kraken, and that's about it. So you're vulnerable to being shoved off. Your out-of-activation movement helps with that, because you can just move back on.
Great point.
But your characters, you're going to have to reclaim instead of just staying there and forcing more numbers on. They can just shove off, and then you have to roll them back on.
Especially what's also interesting about that is because you have a lot of these large bases with Grievous and B2s and B1s, when you're shoved, I mean, a shove really moves you, right? And so you can really feel the burn on that.
Those are their two main weaknesses. Was there anything else that you thought of that are great strengths or weaknesses that Separatists may have?
So I think that if there is one I am thinking of, and I don't think they have great upward mobility.
Yep,
that's true. Grievous can get up with his scale. Jango can get up and can pull people away with his ripcord, which is awesome. But your B2s, Dooku, Magnas, you're really kind of feeling the lack of vertical threat a lot of the time, which is obviously why you rely so much on a figure like Jango. But on certain maps, I've played a lot of Separatists, and on certain maps, it's not like I'm like, oh, I wish I wasn't playing Separatists right now, but I feel the lack of jump as opposed to playing something like Mandos, where that kind of verticality is an asset for you, whereas with playing the Separatists, you will feel the burn like that.
Yeah, that's 100% true that Separatists do struggle to move vertically. You really have to be aware of where ingress points are.
Yep.
And as the Separatist player, you have to be proactive about getting to them so you can't get blocked off. Because it's easy to block off large bases from ingress, climbing up ingress points.
Absolutely.
Your B1s, your B2s can get easily blocked off. So you want to aggressively get to those and try and block off other people. Because conversely, large bases have an easy time blocking off ingress points for your opponent.
Absolutely.
So it's an interesting balance, and you're going to have to be willing to climb more than in other lists. You have greater mobility than other lists out of turn, but in turn, you might have to sacrifice a bit of your mobility in order to climb.
Yeah. I also think that this is one of those things where obviously, we think that Dooku, Jango, Magnas are kind of best in class and really strong units, but I have found that Separatists have a really high skill ceiling in that knowing how to take advantage of the out-of-activation movement, especially for figures like Magna Guards, where Magna Guards are super mobile if you know how to position and move your primary so that they can follow, right? And this is why, is because your Magnas are going to need to climb a bunch. And if they are outside of range, if you haven't been using your primary movement in order to leverage them into kind of a forward position where all you need them to do is climb, you're going to be a sad panda bear.
Yeah, that is 100% true. Additionally, with other activation movement, they are the faction that is hurt most by strain.
Oh, good point.
They have poor recovery. Especially out of activation, they don't have any stuff like that. They recover on their activation when they wound people or when they hit their trees, and strain can really bog down Separatists.
That is a great point.
I typically think of strain as the weakest of the four conditions, but situationally, it's quite powerful. And again, Separatists is one of those moments where it really shines.
Yeah, great point. That's an excellent point.
We already talked about, so here are their strengths. And so we want to be maximizing these things. And so typically to maximize them, you want to take the key characters that really focus in on that.
Yeah.
And for primaries, they have two primaries that kind of do two different things. We got Dooku, who really focuses your force economy strength. He's going to ramp that up and he's going to give you some out of activation movement, but that's kind of a secondary bonus. And Grievous, who gives you a lot of activation movement and also can give you a little bit of force economy as kind of a secondary bonus. They both do both, but they are better at one than the other.
Yes.
Because Dooku's giving you four force. He's not using any. He's giving you ways to recover it. A bit of movement. Grievous giving you lots of movement and conditional way to get some force back. So these two primaries are going to be your key primaries in building any Separatist list. They're going to be your anchor points that you're going to want to focus on. You don't have to bring them both, but you definitely want to be bringing at least one.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely correct. And I think that if we're talking about this in the premier format, I would say, actually, I don't know if this is correct as I'm saying this out loud, but I think that what you're really thinking about is which list does Jango go in, right? Because that will serve as, because you really could run a Separatist only premier list. And when I say Separatist only, I mean you are running everything Separatist can be run, right? Asajj is a figure that we'll talk about a little bit later, but you could absolutely do that. And then you're thinking about, okay, now Dooku or Grievous are kind of going to anchor this list. Now, where's Jango going to go? Because that list is kind of going to solidify what I'm going to be putting forward most of the time, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the other key piece, is your key secondary is Jango. He helps with a lot of your weaknesses. He anchors a lot of those. He has a bit of recovery. He has mobility. He has that automatic displacement. So he's a key piece that the Separatists really need.
Yes.
And so the other secondaries are both good, but Jango is unique in class. And that's compared to all secondaries, not just Separatist secondaries. So where you put him is going to determine a lot of how you're going to build around your premier list.
Yeah. I think that it's also useful thinking about, so Jango is going to do different things for Dooku than he is for Grievous, I have found.
Yeah.
In terms of so I play a lot more Dooku than I do Grievous. I've played a lot of Grievous, but I play a lot more Dooku than Grievous. And the reason why is because Dooku is much more my play style. He's very controlly. He is just like a very solid, he is such a consistent piece, both offensively, defensively. You know what you can do on his activation, and he has high impact activations, even if, you know, he's not murdering someone like Vader or Grievous. He is going to do solid damage, do repositions, do all that stuff, okay? So with Jango, with Dooku, Jango is actually going to be relied on to do a lot more damage, right? You're going to be using his not so fast in order to ace people down, things like that. Whereas with Grievous, I have found that your offense is just tuned up a little bit more. And so what you're doing there is, and obviously you're using Jango's capture wire both times. A lot of times what I'm doing with Jango's capture wire is bringing him closer to your forces, like to annihilate them, right? Because your offense is just tuned up a little bit more, right? So,
yeah, there is a difference in how you're playing Jango in those two lists. In your Dooku list, you're really doing it to control the battlefield, and with that pin is very critical.
Absolutely.
And in the Grievous list, the pin's still nice, but your offense is just higher. You're playing a more aggro version of Separatists. You're pulling people out of cover so that they've got pulled off the terrain. They lose one of their dice from their hunker, right?
Yep.
And you're doing that so that your chip shots that you're getting with Grievous are going to be able to do more damage, and you can win this attrition more and more.
That's such a great point. Great point.
And speaking of, if you're the other secondaries, well, moving to kind of to the other secondaries, you're going to want a droid commander, either Kalani or Kraken. They're both great. They both do basically the same thing. You don't have to spend any force to reserve them, so they help your force economy. They both have solid dice pools with good attacks that can trigger their active abilities, so they don't spend any force. And they move your droids. There's going to be like, hey, droids, move. And there's Kalani's just a one-man army. And Kraken's a little more selfish, but has a little more flexibility in his movement. They're both great. They're both... If there was only one of them, that one would be considered a staple. But because there's two of them, it's like neither are technically staples, but they both are. In any other faction, any one of them would be a staple of that faction.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what's wild about Separatists is we're talking about Kalani probably, in my opinion, being the third best secondary in the Separatist faction. And that's insane because Kalani is so good. What's super interesting about these droid commanders is that they are support pieces, and they are support pieces. They are moving your droid. They're doing a ton. But holy smokes, like, they can turn on the burn when they need to. I mean, they can absolutely high roll. They're rolling solid dice, doing solid damage. And they can just do a lot on their activations. In a lot of ways, they kind of feel like primaries, right? Like, with everything that they're able to do on their activation. They're moving your droids around. They're giving your droids free attacks. they are making these pretty powerful attacks. They're holding points. Kraken's got protection and steadfast and 10 health. So he is, what's his name? Savage on a point. That's amazing, right? So there's just like a lot. They're doing just a lot of very cool things.
They do awesome things. And talking about Kalani being third, I think the reason why he is, and this is important to know for when you're playing Separatists, is that he has the higher ceiling than Kraken, but his floor is much lower.
Yeah.
Because he cannot move himself with his tactics ability. So a pin is crippling to Kalani.
Yes. And also, Kalani's ability is range limited, right? Whereas Kraken's is, his movement ability is global. And that's so super awesome because Kalani is the best turn one activation in the game because you're swarming up all of your droids. But Kraken, and it's not that, like, Kalani is always good, but Kraken in the end game, the ability to move droids, a company of droids all the way across the map as a secondary is just such a strong ability, right? For swinging points in the end game.
Yeah, it really is. Like, Kraken abilities end game is just like, oh, wow, these people way over there, like, just have so much board pressure because of Kraken.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I want to talk about the B2s, actually, with them here. One of the primary play styles is these chip attacks. And Kalani and Kraken give a lot of them. And B2s are your premier chip damage attacker. You have Magna Guards are your premier control attacker. Magna Guards are your premier chip damage attacker. So they really play well in that Grievous variation of the list.
Absolutely.
Also, their expertise, which I've maligned on many other characters, just having straight damage, I think is better on the B2s because of the amount of five dice attacks they get. Like, of course, I'd rather them be crits.
Yeah.
But expertise to straight damage on five dice attacks is really quite great.
It absolutely is the case that if you are making a five dice attack and you're looking, I mean, most of the time, like, it's great to get a shove, but a lot of times, like, you're just doing like two damage, right? Like 1 to 2 damage, and and obviously you're looking to climb as much of your tree, but those attacks add up. If you are more focusing on a droid list, where you're thinking, what I want to do is I want to run Grievous and Maul and droids, that works great. You run Kraken and Kalani. Now your B2s are attacking with an extra dice, and then it gets super spicy, right? Because they are just those multi-shot extraordinaires.
Yeah, you can really build a powerful attrition list that's really good at chipping people down between B2s and Jango. Like, you're going to come in, you're going to smack somebody for... Kalani's going to shoot. He's going to hit them for 5 damage. Some B2s are going to follow up. He's going to hit them for 2. They're going to have taken 7. Jango's going to pin them for another 2. That's a 9 health character, you know, that'll wound them.
Yep.
However, if you want to play more control with your Separatist lists, and even if you want to play aggro, bring Magna Guards.
Yeah.
Because of their control options, and their damage is solid too. It's they do everything. Their 5 dice attacks are harder to pull off because they are melee.
Yeah.
Grievous helps with that because he gives them a dash and then attack on the same ability, whereas Dooku's is either a dash or attack. So they're often having to dash when someone is wounded to get your Magna Guards into position, which is fine.
What's super interesting about comparing... So Magnas, we think, are the best supporting unit in the game. And I think pretty much everyone agrees with us on that, right? And if you have 2 Separatist primaries, your Magna Guards will hum like crazy. And it also, what I have found... Yeah. So Magna Guards have 10 health, 5 defense with super solid defensive expertise. 1 for 1, 2 for 2, right? That is... For a supporting 3-cost character, seems pretty good. And again, while they're not, if you're not running them with, as if you are not running them with Vader, if you're running them in just like a straight set list, you're not going to do crazy good damage, but you will almost always get 1 to 2 shoves, right? Which is most of the time what you need. And you might even get, you know, 3 shoves. You might get 2 shoves in a reposition or something like that. And so their ability to swing through the board by following your primaries around and then by knocking 2 people off of points, like, they are a supporting character that, kind of like Clan Kryze, is pretty effective at swinging 2 points because they're able to make 2 consistent attacks where they are able to get these shoves in. And they're just an absolutely incredible unit.
They are the most mobile 3 cost support by a wide margin.
Yeah.
And they compete with the most mobile 4 costs, except for they just don't have a jump. But they have repositions that they consistently get. And they can easily, between multiple shoves and a reposition and their own movement, they can get from one corner of the board to another.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily like the absolute farthest corners, but from far away positions.
Yep. Absolutely right.
So those are the cores of your Separatist list. You're going to have your Magnas, you're going to have your B2s, Jango, pick a droid captain, Dooku Grievous. Separatists do have a couple tech pieces. We have Asajj, who none of us have been super high on.
Yeah.
But she does have her place, especially next to Dooku. So her big weakness is Force Economy. Next to Dooku, that's somewhat alleviated. Because you're getting Force Refresh, and he's not spending any. But Asajj always wants to spend 3 Force on her activation.
At least jump, 3 Force on her. Yep.
At least 3 Force, right? You're going to jump at least once, and then you want to Force Push. Sometimes you want to jump twice.
Yep.
If she's wounded, your Force Economy is basically just Asajj.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's really quite brutal in that regard. So, but she has her place because only Jango is the only other Separatist that has out of attack displacement.
Yeah.
And that's important, as Morgan talked about, having 2 units in each team is kind of his go-to for premier list building.
Yeah.
And so Asajj can play that role if you don't want to splash out into other factions.
Have you run Asajj Dooku very much?
Yeah, I've run it a fair amount, especially at the beginning when it first came out, and I've run it a little bit recently. Always a little let down with Asajj. Honestly, I would just rather have Barriss under Dooku if I want a Force Push.
Wow, that's wild.
Like, I would just rather take Grievous and have, like, Grievous Jango B2s, Dooku... I mean, Grievous Jango B2s, Dooku, Barriss, Magnus.
Magnus, yeah.
Yeah. Like, also if I want to Force Push, that's what I want to do. Like, I feel part of it's the opportunity cost of Asajj. Like, Barriss is doing the same thing for lesser opportunity cost.
Yeah, because then you can still take Grievous, right, is the idea.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then I can still take Grievous and get all that juicy synergy that I really want. So
I think the thing with Asajj is that I also feel like, not to like bag on her too much because we're talking about her being a tech character, and I do think there is a place for her, and I would like to play her more. But I will say there's the opportunity cross problem, which is significant. There's the problem of best in class, or not even best in class, but like best for what you're doing, right? Like Sam has just said that Barriss does what she is doing, but doesn't take your primary slot, which is a huge deal. The other problem I have found with her is that, I guess maybe this is not the case with Dooku if she's in a Dooku list, but I find her defensive kit is so weak that she is super easy, unless she is off on her own, she's very easy to wound, very easy to bring down, and then her Force Economy is now just wrecked, right? Just absolutely wrecked. And so you need a... I'm thinking, well, you run her with Dooku because he is, one, alleviating the Force Economy problem, and two, when she gets wounded, you have, like, a response. But, oh, man, it just feels... It doesn't feel super great.
Yeah, she is incredibly easy to wound. And when you're running her in a Dooku list, she's the obvious target, too.
Yes, like, great point.
They're never going to go after Dooku and... And like, yeah, maybe you get some force back from it too, but she's going to go down, and she's going to go down pretty easily. Yeah. So that's the other thing, is she doesn't fit in with the Separatists' like high health, general durability sub theme that they have going on.
Yeah.
In many ways, she feels like she fits the Dathomirian sub faction a little design ethos a little more than the Separatist design ethos.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
of course,
right.
The designers have said that she's one of the most slept on characters right now, and they're probably right, but I still haven't found somewhere that I'm really happy to play Asajj.
Yeah, I think, I think that I can understand them saying that, right? They're like, oh, she's got this super strong kit. Force Push is one of the best abilities in the game, obviously, and it can completely neuter. The great thing about Force Push is that it takes a figure like Dooku. Dooku's on a point. you're not going to be able to remove that figure off a point by attacking him. Like, you're just not. And you're going to be punished for trying to do it. So now you come in with Force Push and you're like, hey, Dooku, now I want you to get three, you know, range three away. Send him out into oblivion. That's how, like, that is so strong. I think the problem that everyone has when they play Asajj is, you know, the designers are like, oh, she's being slept on. It's like, well, I don't think she is, right? Like, we've got Jango, we've got Dooku, we've got Grievous, right? We've got these really strong figures. Why bring Asajj, you know, like Sam said, when you can just bring a figure like Barriss? So I get what they're saying. And I do think that you should play her. You should try her with Mama Maul or with Mama and, you know, the Dathomirians. Like, try her in all these lists. But know that you should keep your expectations. Play her with Vader, right? Like, Matt's done that, and I think that's a really cool idea. But just key your expectations appropriately, where you're gonna feel it, right? With sometimes with her being a weaker point in the list.
Yeah, exactly. She has her place. As I just said, like, she can be a cool tech piece as a fourth squad in a Vader premier list. Like, I think she's a really cool tech piece in that list.
Yeah,
and she can be a good tech piece in a Separatist premier list, but she's never gonna be like, here, I'm playing this because I want to focus on Asajj. She's like, yeah, I think it would be good in this particular case.
Yeah. Great point. Great point.
Yeah. The other tech character are B1s, which is also kind of crazy that these are a tech character, because throw them in Republic and they would see a ton of play.
B1s are so good.
Yeah. They have a lot of health, and they have a... after their first spot on their tree, a really good tree.
Yeah.
And their deck manipulation too. Like, being able to send a card to the bottom of the deck is quite powerful. But they're just overshadowed by Magga Guards, which is why they're a tech piece here, right? You bring them because you're wanting to play around with threat, or you have Magga Guards and a different thing for Premier. But other than that, B2s just get a little outclassed by Magnus.
Yeah, I also think that the thing with B1s is that they are probably the most dependent on having Kalani there, because their expertise is so garbage. Their expertise is so garbage that you really want that extra die. Because like Sam said, once you get past their first step, like, they have a solid tree, but you really want to get past that first step, right? And so having that extra dice really matters.
Hey, their expertise is better than the 501st on offense, not on defense.
It's so true. Oh, it is so true.
Honestly, I would even probably swap the 212th's expertise for B1s. Like, their offensive expertise is okay.
Yeah.
Their defensive one is absolutely horrible, but they just hope to have 9 health so they don't get one shot.
That's it. I mean, they have 9 health and they have protection when they're contesting a point, which that matters, right? Yeah.
It does. Definitely does. Having a big base is also a plus. Big base models get hurt more by shoves. I've also found it easier to position them where they can't be shoved.
That's a great point.
It's just, you're easier to put in nooks and crannies, or when they're up on terrain, you can block off those landing spots a bit more, just because they have to have a bigger landing spot. Yeah, so they're a good unit. B1s are good. But they are a tech piece. You are bringing them because you're wanting to bring all droids, Kraken, Kalani, or you're really wanting that deck manipulation. You're not bringing B1s because you're like, oh yes, B1s.
Yeah. The thing about B1s, again, like, as you know, we talk about Asajj and, like, we're kind of poo-pooing on Asajj, but, like, B1s I think are a super awesome piece. If you're not looking at their card, let me just tell you. They have 3 abilities, none of which become more expensive when they get wounded, right? They're all innate. Combat AI Protocols is kind of like an after-the-fact coordinated fire, but it's really good because it can give strain or expose. So you take a shot with a B1, and then you can then expose, and then the second B1 can, you know, make an attack, right? I guess I'm in charge now, it says... When this unit's order card would be placed in reserve, its controlling player may place it on the bottom of the order deck instead. This is so good, especially later in the game, because if you pull the B1 card, typically what I do with B1s is I have them in the back, right? They're in the back. They're applying long range shots, but really what they're doing is kind of like anchoring the back point, because they're, I mean, their melee expertise is really bad, right? And their melee defense is really bad, right? So they're in the back, so which is great because when I pull their card in struggles two and three, I think, nope, I'm going to put you on bottom. And the reason why I'm putting you on bottom is because I don't want to see this card, right? And a lot of times you won't. And if you do, you know that like they are now on the bottom of my deck, right? Instead of being in reserve. It's super good. And again, when they are contesting an active objective, they have protection. 9 health and protection for a 3 cost unit is wild. It's so strong. And I mean, they're just they're a great piece.
Yeah, they really are. I would rather have 9 health and 1 less defense die than 7 health. And like, I'd rather have 9 and 3 defense than 7 and 4.
100%.
Absolutely. The last tech piece to talk about, who is technically a separatist character, but you would never like bring him in a solo separatist list, is Savash.
I didn't know he was a separatist character.
Yeah, he is the Separatist Alliance tag. He just is, he's a wonky character. I am personally very, very low on him. There are Savash truthers in our Slack, but
that's true.
I think he's just awful. But like,
Let's talk about like what. So this is what Savash is. So Savash is a 4 cost, 10 health primary, and his problem is, in my opinion, so he if Savash had one change, I would be super sweet on him. If he had a push in like his first 2 steps on his tree, even on his, to be honest, even if he had a push on his 3rd step on his tree, I'd be like, okay, like at least he can get there. But like what Savash does, I have found most of the time, is he's turning on your Dathomirian synergies in a way that I don't find super impactful most of the time. He does, however, he is a 10 health character with protection and steadfast. But you compare him to a figure like Kraken, who is also a 10 health figure with protection and steadfast, as long as he's contesting an objective. And I mean, the contrast is kind of night and day in terms of how much stronger Kraken is. And so I think, and so Sam and I are, you know, we are obviously, I'm not anti-Savage. I just think that people who are like, oh, Savage is this really, you know, strong piece or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not seeing it. I have, every single time I've played against Savage, I have never been impressed by him. Playing with and against him, every single time, all I have found him to do is be, as Matt calls him, you know, a 10 health potato sitting on a point. But man, I've never been very impressed by Savash.
Hey, I now have some time over the next 3 weeks or so to play some games on TTS. So if anyone out there wants to convince me that Savash is good, hit me up to play some games on TTS, and I'm down to play.
Until then,
I'm putting him in, not even in tech piece, but just don't bring him if you're playing Separatist synergies. He doesn't synergize with what the rest of Separatists want to do.
Yeah, yep, absolutely correct. Especially because it's weird to me that he is a Separatist figure, but that Maul and Mama aren't, right? Like, what's going on? I don't understand what's really going on there, but anyway.
So the next topic I wanted to bring up are, who to splash? So who are some of those most fun, thematic, but also powerful characters to put into your Separatist lists? And talking about Maul, he is one of my go-to splashes because he offers some of that out of activation, I mean, not out of attack displacement, right? So he can pull people off points. He also gives expose, which
is so good.
Is really good in a faction that has a hard time getting it.
Yes.
Like, oftentimes, I won't have Maul attack the figure he just exposed. I want to set that up for somebody else. Because they have good trees, especially the back ends. And so Maul pulls someone off, he attacks somebody else. And then I've set up an exposed target for my Grievous, for my Dooku, for my Jango.
Yep.
Even for my B2s.
Yep.
Or B1s really thrive on expose because they re-give expose at the 3rd step. So if you expose someone, you're probably going to get to step 3 and then you can re-expose them for the next shot. Yeah. And then B2s, I mean B1s are one of the other people that can give out expose when your other droids attack. So maybe your exposed target gets hit by Kraken. They're both the targets within range of your B1s. You can re-expose them. So you can kind of get this exposed train going as soon as you get your first one. It's just pricey to get in Separatists. So Maul does that.
Yeah, let me give another thing about here about Maul. So Maul is such an insanely good primary, and he is so good in Separatists. And one really cool thing about Maul that Sam kind of just obliquely referenced is what Maul can do with his Sinister Cunning side. Is Maul can charge, he can get from deployment zone to the opposite, to the far line of objectives by advancing, by taking a shot with Sinister Cunning. And you can also pull people away. Oh, and also with his force speed. So he's performing two advances. He's performing a range 4/7 dice attack with Sinister Cunning. And on his second step, he has a reposition. And while you're doing all of this fun stuff, you can do your There Is No Place to Run to pull someone off of a point, right? So he can single-handedly swing 2 points by himself. Oh, he's such a good figure. And it's just such a fun thing to pull off.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he doubles down on your force economy strength. Like if you're playing Dooku Maul, you can literally spend every single drop of force on reserving cards if you want and just make your draw what you want it to be. Or you can just have Jango ping everybody, even if it doesn't matter, because your force economy is incredible. Your B2s are always going to have some extra dice.
Yep. Exactly.
So he really turns on all of those abilities for the rest of your squad.
Yep.
Who's one of your top splashes besides Maul, Kenny?
Okay, so for me, I would say the list I have absolutely played the most has been Ahsoka Dooku. Now, Ahsoka is obviously not super thematic. Sorry about that. But what I have done is I have run lots of combinations of Ahsoka with Dooku because Ahsoka takes Dooku's defensive strengths and just turns it up to 11. Now, when your figures get wounded, especially if a secondary figure gets wounded, because your primaries aren't getting attacked, but if Jango gets wounded or if whoever your other secondary gets wounded, whoa, boy, you bring the pain with those guys. So what I've liked to run is if I'm running a premier list, I'll run like Ahsoka, Obi-2, and Clan Kreese, or Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, and Clan Kreese, or Ahsoka, Gar, and Clan Kreese. If I'm running more of just like a showdown list, just running a list, B2s are so good there, right? Because they are more able to help take advantage of Dooku's ability. But if you want to run kind of a control-y list, if you're running into a lot of aggro and you feel like you're feeling a little too much heat there and you want to turn things down a notch, you bring Ahsoka Dooku and you will just have so much to do on your opponent's turn after they wound your figures in a way that's honestly, it can be kind of demoralizing, right? Like your opponent's like, oh, I wounded a figure. You're like, oh, that's awesome. Are you done? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, okay, Ahsoka's going to do this. Dooku's going to do this, right? And you just are able to have a lot of fun. So that has been the list I've actually probably played the most. I think it's super strong, especially into an aggro matchup, like if someone's running Vader.
Yeah.
So that would be, I think Ahsoka is very splashable because Ahsoka also, she is like almost completely synergy independent. She's Galactic Republic force user, but doesn't super matter. She is just, she's bringing all the things she's bringing. She's not taking anything from your list. You can reserve a few force for her. What's the matter? Too fast for you. So she's just doing a lot.
I really love playing that list. It's one of my absolute favorites to run. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it does a lot of unique things. The only knock against it is that it's not thematic, but that's
okay. It is not thematic. It's still fun. Yep. That's right. That's right.
For a thematic take that I don't think is quite as powerful, but it's still a good list, is to bring Cad Bane and play Megadroids. Because with Cad, you can take Kalani and B2s.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
And then you can have Dooku, Kraken, and Magna Guards and just go all in on your droids and have a lot of fun. Or, you can bring Jango instead of Kraken. But if you want to go the whole droid swarm, it's a lot of fun. Cad's a fun figure. I think that this is one of his best lists, actually. I don't think he's... I put him a kind of a lower mid-tier primary is where I think I put him on my tier list.
Yeah.
So, I'm not super high on him, but I think he's good. I think it's fun. And I think this is a list that can make CAD shine, actually.
Yeah.
This, if you want to play a CAD Bane list, I think is the best one, and it still feels fun and somatic, and it fits into what the Separatists are trying to do and helps a bit with some of the weaknesses, because CAD is really good at dishing out conditions.
Yep.
Separatists aren't, like, fantastic at that. CAD is highly mobile. He has lots of jumps. He can get to these hard-to-reach places that Separatists aren't great at. So he does help with some of their weaknesses. He is pretty squishy, but he's a fun character to play in these lists.
Yeah, the thing is that while CAD might not be the best wingman for Dooku, Dooku might be the best wingman for CAD. And the reason why is because all of CAD's weaknesses are offset by Dooku specifically, because he gives him more force, right? So CAD has this, you know, problem where his force cap is 2. So Dooku adds 4 and is not taking any. So CAD has some really cool defensive expertise, but he's just not as durable as a figure like Dooku or Vader or Ahsoka, right? Or, you know, he's just not as durable, right? So now if he's going to be wounded, then you're able to do a lot of that with Dooku's, right? So there's just like, Dooku really complements CAD specifically in terms of helping kind of turn his kit on.
Yeah, that's a really good point with all of that. Yeah.
So one more list that I have that is, again, this is not thematic, but is really fun, is Lumi Dooku, or Lumi Separatist, but I'm gonna do a strong caveat here. So first off, credit where credit is due. I've said this on pretty much every podcast recently that I've been playing a lot of Lumi, Dooku, Lumi Separatist stuff, and I love Lumi. She's awesome. And she is, her best place is in Separatist. But specifically, I think her best fit is with Dooku, Jango, Magnus. And here's the reason why. So what Lumi does is she has this ability called Flow of the Force. And has this cool thing where you can look at your character card if before revealing the top card of your deck, if you have a card in reserve, or even if you don't, you can just look at it in order to see, you know, what you've got coming down the line. Super cool. The other part of that is when you wound a figure, one of your figures can perform a dash. It is one of the strongest things to do in the game, because what you're doing is, you know, it's you're wounding figures, and in addition to taking a figure off of that point, other figures or that figure or any figure is able to perform a dash. Super strong. And also when her figures are wounded, you are able to heal 3. Now, the reason why this works so well with Dooku, Jango, and Magnus is because obviously Jango's kind of busted, Magnus are busted, but they are good both offensively and defensively, so they can really take advantage of that. So you can run kind of a similar thing where you can run like Lumi Bow Soups, or you can run Lumi Kraken B2s, and you will really, it's just a very cool kind of, Lumi's not going to do a ton on her activation, but she's a more pure support piece and helping your other things do more. And because, I mean, to be honest, Dooku, Magnus, and Jango can really kind of carry your list by themselves, that she is just able to kind of tune them up even more, right? And so just makes for, it's a very cool list, and it will feel very different from like Grievous. You know, I mean, Grievous is a murder bot, and he's got his own really cool things. And I think that Grievous is probably better, but it's just it's just fun. It's a really fun list, but it is hyper not thematic, obviously.
So. Yeah. Have you tried Lumi Grievous?
So no, Matt did, and we were not impressed, but the reason why was because he ran it. So I was actually running Republic. I wanted to run Obi Mace.
Yeah.
You know, in order to give that a spin. And he was not running Jango or Magnus because he wanted it to be it was a premier list. So the idea was, you know, I've got Dooku, Jango, Magnus are the prime list, but I've got Grievous, Lumi, and then droids. And it didn't work as well. I think. And obviously, so Matt hasn't run Separatists very much. I don't think he had ever run Grievous before. But it didn't feel like lacking Magnus and Jango and just kind of how flexible they are. It didn't feel like he was quite able to do enough with those figures. So the short answer to that is
no, it's not super great. I wonder about, I have a list actually. I wonder if Lumi, Kalani, Magnus, Grievous, Jango B2s is legit. Like that sounds like a pretty solid list to me.
Yeah, I think that sounds super solid. Like, yeah. I think you need Jenga. I mean, I'm sorry that we keep on this train, but I think you kind of need Jenga and Magnas if you're not running just like hyper tuned things, right? I don't think, you know, and Lumi, in my opinion, is not hyper tuned, but like this list that Sam just described, that's a really cool, strong list, but you need Jenga and Magnas in order to make it hum, right? So just something to think about.
So the last thing I want to, before we talk about missions real briefly, I just want to briefly throw out a premier list idea for separatists. So like, here's an idea of a separatist based premier list that you can take that will probably perform really well and kind of meets Morgan Reed's criteria of the displacement as well. So you have Dooku, Barriss, and Magna Guards.
Okay.
You have Grievous, Jango, and B2s.
Okay.
You have Mother Talzin, Kraken, and the the ladies with the bows. I can't remember. The Dathomirian
Night
Sisters.
Night Sisters.
Yes.
Yep.
Night Sisters. And then you have Maul, Kalani, and B1s.
Yeah.
No matter who you take, so Kraken doesn't have any droids in his squad, but no matter who you take, there's going to be droids with them on that particular premier list. I think that's a really cool list. I think it does the out of attack movement really well. I think it plays into a lot of separatist strengths, and it really doesn't force you into, because Magnas and Jangos are split up, it does a good job of dispersing your power.
Yes. That's a really cool list idea, Sam.
So you aren't locked into always bringing one list. You can bring Dooku, Barriss, Magnas, or Grievous, Jango, B2s with either one of your other squads. You don't always have to bring one. I think it's a really cool list. And if you're wanting to try a Separatist Premier list, I think that's a cool thing to try.
Yeah, I really like that.
So last thing I want to talk about is which mission do they prefer? And I don't think that you have a strong preference one way or another. But if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to pick Shifting Priorities, because I think they do such a good job of spreading out. But I think they'll play Sabotage Showdown just fine.
Yeah, agreed. I think that the reason why they are so good on Shifting Priorities is because you can realistically, legitimately contest the entire midline and be difficult to remove off of the midline, right? And as your opponent comes up in order to push you off, you can really punish them. If you've got Grievous, this is especially the case, where if they bring up figures, you know, that are not high health figures in order to push off the midline, Grievous is very easily able to reach the midline for melee attacks even, and let alone he's got a really strong, his Warlord or Sinister Cunning or Warlord or whatever it is, his ranged attack is super solid. Like, people don't talk about it very much, but it's an amazing attack.
I mean, it's got pin push first two steps.
Which are the best two steps. I mean, that's the best two steps in the game. So it's very strong, and that I do think Shifting Priorities is better. It also, like, the problem with Sabotage Showdown for them is that where is that not having that middle point active round one, I think is probably the only thing that they don't love, because that makes your flexibility in order to swing from one side to the middle and take a point a little less strong. But I think you're right. I think they're totally fine anywhere. But if I am building a separatist list, I want to be playing most of the time on Shifting Priorities.
Yeah. You're 100% right that it's that middle point not being active round one. Because you're so good at spreading out, you lose some of your edge by not being able to spread out and take 3 points in the center. So I think that is the short overview of Separatists. I think that hits a lot of the main points for what they do well, and hopefully this can be useful to someone saying, hey, I want to play Separatists. Here's your primer. Here's the basics of nuts and bolts of what to do with them.
Yeah. We should have said this at the beginning of the episode, but if you are a new player and you're wondering, you know, you bought the core box and you're wondering kind of where to go next, what I always tell people is, like, if what you're really interested in is building like a tuned up list for once a tournament scene starts happening, or, you know, playing in more organized play events, I think the best two boxes in the game to buy are the Dooku box and the Grievous box, right? With the core box, the Dooku and Grievous, you have literally everything you need in order to build an unbelievably solid premier list, right? And so that's awesome, right? Like, you don't have Vader, which is fine. You don't, I personally, I get why everyone says, you know, everyone says that Vader is probably the best figure in the game besides Jango.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. Dooku is much more my play style. And so I love being able to run a figure like Dooku, and that you could buy the core box, the Dooku box and Grievous box, and literally be able to contest, I think, honestly, any list. That's a cool feeling, right? So
yeah.
if you're new to the game and you're thinking like, I'm not sure what to do, I would say I feel bad for you, because the two boxes I've told you to buy require you to assemble the Magna Guards and Grievous, and I'm sorry about that. Yeah. But like those, you're just gonna feel really good running those lists. So go buy those boxes and then go womp on your friends.
Do it. Yeah. And then you can buy whatever you want, because everybody's best pairing is Dooku.
That's exactly right. That's Lumi's best pairing, Dooku. Ahsoka's best pairing, Dooku. Vader is probably the only one where it's like, I don't know that Dooku is his best pairing, but the fact that I have to think about that for a second is kind of alarming, right?
So, yeah. I mean, I'll play Vader Dooku. That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was actually, like, to be honest, Vader ARFs, giving an expose on Vader. You're like, guys, you're coming up to attack somebody. ARFs are going to expose them. Vader's coming up, and you're like, I'm sorry. Like, Anakin Skywalker is about to die, right? Like, there's just nothing you can do. I mean, ARFs really tune up Vader. So, it's a fun list.
That's when you hope that you're playing Dooku with your Anakin Skywalker. So when they murder your Anakin Skywalker, your Magna Guards are going to punch them back.
That's exactly right. We hope that everybody has a wonderful... This episode is going to be releasing on... I will tell you. This episode is going to be releasing on December 18th, a week before Christmas. We hope that as everyone is getting ready for Christmas and for the Christmas holiday, that you're able to get some games in, that you're able to have a lovely and relaxing time. Sam is coming back to Utah from Pennsylvania. We're going to have to play some Shatterpoint.
We will. I won't be bringing my Shatterpoint stuff because I won't have room on the plane, but
yeah,
I'm definitely wanting to get some games in. So
we'll have enough and to spare. We also, what we have done for the past 2 years, this is the third year we do it, is we have what's called Christmas Con at my house, where we just play board games all day a few days after Christmas. And so while we might not be playing Shatterpoint then, we will absolutely be talking about Shatterpoint then, much to the chagrin of we'll have a bunch of people show up. I guess most of them, probably half of them, play Shatterpoint. What I'm saying is we're going to be talking about a lot of Shatterpoint. And we encourage everyone, get some games in. Let us know how things are going. We hope that if you're able to get in some tournaments or things like that, let us know how those are. We love to know about OP events that are happening and have been happening. So everyone, have a wonderful Christmas. Sam, fly safe.
Thanks.